as in heaven, also on the earth. Okay? Now, we know the scripture well. It's the Lord's Prayer. We want heaven on earth. That's what he said to pray. We want heaven's way to enter the earth. And then Luke 12:32 said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure." This is the thing he likes the best. Good. Remember the word good. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we have a Father. He is in heaven. And it's his desire that we have the kingdom. It's his desire that we have heaven. We have heaven on earth while we're here. We don't just have fire insurance. We live good here. Good things happen to us here. Heaven is a place of accomplishment, love, and service. It's a place of beauty and comfort. It's the place where Father is residing. He's there. Holy Spirit's on earth. Jesus and Father are in heaven. Y'all got that, don't you? Well, Jesus is in my heart. Well, he is, but he's in your heart as the fountain of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit on earth. Now, so Father is the number one word in the Strong's Concordance. Did y'all know that? It's Abi, and in the Greek it's Pater. But he is the number one. Father is number one, church. Number one. He is the progenitor or the originator of the family. He is the nourisher. He is the protector. He is the upholder. The same things you see in fathers today, many of them, maybe not all of them, but many of them. Those that are in this house, we certainly see that. Amen. And so what kind of father is he, though? Let's go to James 1:13, something, yeah, we're very familiar with. Amen. Look, if you didn't have a good father, you have one now. You have Father God. You have Father God. He's a good father. I had a good daddy. I have a good daddy. He's in heaven. He's a good daddy. He worked all his life for us, took care of us. And when I was a little kid, I'd sit on his shoulder and combed his hair till he almost didn't have any. And he let me crawl all over him. And he had gum every day. And he did all those things daddies did. And he is a protector. And he took good care of our family. And he just went to heaven too early. But I will be back with him. This father, though, is way up there. He has taken care of me since daddy went to heaven. Amen. And before daddy went to heaven. He is our daddy. The Apostle Paul called him Abba. That's okay. You can call him that. We respect him as father, but we can get personal with him and call him our daddy. Amen. Are you at James 1:13 yet? All right. So what we've seen so far here, just reading and talking about in these other scriptures, is that he doesn't want us to fear. He wants to give us the kingdom. He wants heaven on earth for us. Amen. Now look at these scriptures. It says, "Let no one being tempted say, I'm tempted of God." Mm-hmm. Any questions?
No.
God's not tempting you. Okay? For God is not tempted by evils, and he tempts no one. Man, when you get to heaven, the tempter won't be there. That's going to be nice. Amen. But while you're here, you can deal with it. Because Jesus already paid. All right. But each one is tempted by his own lust. Any questions? Got that? Being drawn away and seduced by them. So it's someone's own lust. It's your own lust that causes you to be tempted. You look at something or you get mad about something or whatever is tempting you and you try to head that way. It says, then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. So when you go ahead and do what you lusted after, you sinned. Amen? Well, y'all sure are quiet about sin. Everybody's done it, but and sin, when it is fully formed, brings death. We know the wages of sin is death. Yep. To this day, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God,
yes,
where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Yep. And so we're living in grace. It doesn't mean you should go around acting silly and answering your lust there. You should follow God. You should do what's right. Do it right because it's right. Amen. But we know that we do have grace and mercy, and we can run to God when we have done what is wrong. Now, When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is fully formed, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I have seen the church world err my whole life, not knowing that God is only good. But this scripture clearly says, do not err. God is good. It says every good gift and every perfect gift, notice there's two gifts, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Yeah, okay. I have to go here just for a minute. I was watching a documentary about Celine Dion. Do y'all know who she is? God gave her that beautiful voice. And she was hit by the enemy with a stiff person disease. One in a million have it. One in a million. And she tells her story about it. And she was telling her story to that nice lady.
Hoda.
Who?
Hoda.
Hoda. Y'all know who she is. She's a Christian lady on the news thing. She's pretty good. Anyway, she's telling her story about what's going on. And so Hoda asks her, she says, do you just want to be mad at God for doing this? And she said, why would I waste my time going that way? Why would I waste my time being mad at God when I need to focus on getting well? That's a nutshell. You can watch it if you want to. But I was sitting there and I was talking to the Lord about that. I said, you know, Lord, if people only knew right there, I mean, I love her courage. I love her answer. But right there, I wish she would have said, God didn't do this. God didn't do this, you know, and he doesn't have the devil on a chain. And anyway, and she's actually better. She's talking better. And I just believe she's going to get saved. I believe she's going to get healed. I mean, what a treasure in this earth that lady has been. And so I just believe that she's going to get the fullness of her healing. But wouldn't it be great at these moments when everyone wants to blame God that at least the Christian people knew, oh no, honey, that's not God.
Right.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life abundant. Jesus is not, God's not hitting people and Jesus healing them. A kingdom divided cannot stand. You knew I had to go there. Praise the Lord. All right. So, we see that God cannot be tempted with dishonor or deny himself. And he doesn't tempt men. The enemy does. He doesn't condemn men either. He convicts, but he doesn't condemn.
Yeah.
Now, here we see that he is the giver of good gifts. I want to look at these just for just a minute. I've taught you this before. We're going to do it again because hearing and hearing. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Okay? So, brethren, do not get off course.
Right.
Every beneficial act, that's the first gift, and every complete gift comes from the Father. So anything that's going to come from God is going to be beneficial and complete. Beneficial and complete. Say it. Beneficial and complete. He will heal all the way. The woman with the issue of blood walked away whole. She didn't have to say, Jesus, if you could just do some of this, I believe I can handle the rest. No. No, she even got her money back from she spent on all the doctors. Because the word whole is there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God is good. And he gives you beneficial gifts that are complete. A lot of times people don't take all that is theirs. Amen. You know my story. The man on the boat coming to the new country. Gets his ticket, sits on the front of the boat at every dinner time, eats his crackers and cheese. Every day the porter comes out and says, would you please come eat with us? No, I'm right here. I'm just going to eat this. And at the end of the sailing and he's going to get off the boat, the porter says, sir, we're sorry you didn't want to eat with us. And he said, I didn't have enough money. I only had enough money for the ticket. And the porter says, sir, the meals were included in the ticket. I'm telling you, the meals are included in this ticket. They're included in this ticket. You get the full meal deal. You get life and life abundant. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. That's coming from the Father. Do you know people are maybe... you're like this yourself. You see someone with a need or a dream and you want to get in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know people like that? That's coming from Father.
Yes.
That's coming from Father. Yeah. When someone does something for you like that, recognize it.
Yeah.
That's a God wink. That's God blessing you. That's God giving to you. So-and-so did such and such for you. That was God.
Yeah.
And when you do something for someone, that's Father.
Yeah.
That's Father giving a good and complete and a perfect gift. He wants to, we need to recognize these things. We need to quit being dull about these things.
Right.
We need to, when we see something happen, that's a favor of God.
Yeah.
I was telling the tent meeting people, Deb and I were driving from Albuquerque up to Raton, and so we stopped at Love's. Y'all know Love's? And so when we opened the door, you know, and we had been waiting to go to the restroom, and so we opened the door, and there's like 15 ladies in line. They're almost hanging out the front door. And so we're like, okay, we're waiting. We moved ahead a little, and it was good. But then the manager points to Deb and says, lady, come here. And so he opens the showers, which has a bathroom in it. You go in here, lady. And then he points to me and says, lady, you go in the second shower. And when you get done, leave the door open so the next lady, hold it open so the next lady can come in. And I told Deb, we were walking out, and I said, now that's a favor of God. So we got our jerky and stuff, and we were about to leave, and we got in line, and there was another line. And we're trying to get to Jim and Misty's, you know, out to the ranch. And so here comes the manager, opens the cash register, and says, you two ladies, come here. Now, you can, if you want to, you can just say, oh, well, isn't that nice? That's a favor of God. And if you start recognizing the favor of God on your life, the favor will get bigger. Just little things. I got that parking place. That's the favor of God.
Yeah,
I did that. That's the favor of God. I won that. That's the favor of God. If you'll start talking it, it will get bigger. It's a law. You talk doubt and unbelief, you'll get some stuff. But it won't be good stuff. But if you talk faith and you talk God, you talk Jesus, you talk the favor of God, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get good stuff. Amen. Father is beneficial through people. It took that manager. Okay? So he's going to be beneficial through you.
Yes.
You're going to do something. Church, you know the scripture that says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God, the prize of the high calling of God. I'll tell you something, because I'm not going to be here to get to preach this to you, because Wednesday night's going to be my last night for a little while. So, the mark is not the high calling. The mark is not the prize. The mark is when you bowl. Remember I told y'all this. You roll your ball on bowling across the mark. And if you roll it just right, that ball will turn and hit the two pins and knock down all 10 pins. They laughed so hard. I said 12 pins. That's 10. I was talking about it there. Okay. So let me tell you what the mark is. If you want to see the high calling of God in your life and you want to get blessed and your life change, the mark is servanthood.
Yep.
You're like, well, how do you know that? Because those boys, those disciples were arguing over who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus told them who's going to be the greatest. The servant. He said the servant would be the greatest. So the high calling of God and the prize of, you're going to get those, and you, it is the high calling of God, is servanthood. And it caused everything to flow in your life good. So God can use you to give beneficial gifts.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Y'all still here? Some of y'all are staring. Okay. So recognize that, church. Now, if you avoid helping people, that's not Father.
Yeah,
just thought I'd tell you. Okay. So learn to recognize when God is trying to bless you through others, or he's trying to get you to do something to bless others. Amen. Man, if a need comes up and you get that unction, do it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. 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 Brother Randy's son had a fire. And I mean, and everything's okay now. He's getting it done.
It's in process.
So immediately Deb and I both said, yes, we got to do this. So, you gave. Okay. And so and if necessary, give more. He's on Venmo if you need to give him something, but he's in the process. And we want to help I call him our little brother. Christian. Good kid. Okay. Now, so where is he, in Washington or Oregon?
Technically in Washington.
Washington. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Lord, we ask you to bless Christian today. We thank you, Lord, for help in every way. We thank you, Lord, that when people feel the unction, that they will help him in the name of Jesus. And that would be Father giving good benefits. I'll tell you what, I got in that situation, I'd sure like for somebody to help me.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's what we're called to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. All right. So take hold of the complete gift. He'll perfect that which concerns you. So when something starts and begins to work, see it through. See it through. You don't go, oh, well, I just ended up with just this. No, if he started it, he wants to finish it. Amen.
Amen.
And so take hold of that word complete gift, because he wants to complete the project. Now, it said there that he was the father of lights. So Father illuminates his children.
Yeah.
Light enables the eye to discern. Father helps you discern what's right, what's true. The natural man cannot receive spiritual light because he lacks capacity for spiritual things. Give people a break if they're not saved. And even some Christians that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's even harder for them. Amen. It is. So, you know, you might as well just consider the source and understand they don't get it. And how many Christians do you know that just got sucked into religious institutions, and they're just working in religious institutions, and they're just following rules, and they don't know. But if we get into the Word of God, if we're led by the Spirit of God, all that begins to change, and we can get some good light. We are the sons of light, and we've been illuminated, and we can exercise our spiritual senses. That's the main thing. Exercise your spiritual senses.
Yes.
So that's the kind of Father we have. He will not tempt us with evil. He's a beneficial giver who gives complete gifts. He's given us new birth and called us the children of light. And he's given us the capacity to receive the gifts. People make it so hard. Well, I can't get it. I can't get it. I can't get it. Yeah, you can get it. That's why we prayed what we did today when Jesse was leading us down the path of going ahead and opening up and receiving. That's why we put some anointing to that. So you can get past this. Go ahead and receive what God has for you.
Yes.
Just start thinking that way. Have a cookie.
I believe I will.
I take it, I have it, I thank you for it, I always forgive. Amen. All right. So it also said, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Church, God is always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. All seasons of the year, in all the ages, there is no change in his character. He's the same. His mode is the same. His purposes and his plans are the same. And they're all about you and things doing good for you. And he's not going to change. He will never tempt you with evil. He's never tempted himself. He will always be giving. I know I'm being redundant. I'm doing it on purpose, okay? I want you to walk out of here thinking, man, I'm going to have everything God wants me to have. I'm going to be able to do everything God wants me to do. Amen. Going to do it. We can do it. If you'll be able to do it if you'll get blessed with what he has for you, like some anointing.
Yes.
Amen. The word of God. Amen. So, he's blessed you with a spiritual capacity to receive the gifts. When you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, you remember that?
Yeah.
All the gifts of the Spirit became available, and then the Holy Spirit releases those to those that he will and wants certain ones to operate in. But they belong to us. The gifts of the Spirit belong to us. And all the other gifts, right down to new shoes if you need them. So he's never going to change. He's always a good father. He's a father of love. Behold what manner of love the Father has already bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So what kind of love is that? They're saying, look at the kind of love that God has. Amen. What kind of love does God have toward his sons? What kind of love is that? Well, what degree of love would it be? What kind of love? Well, let's just talk about that for a couple of seconds. The kind of love that adopts you and lets you call him Father. That kind of love. What degree of love? In degree, the most exalted, since there is nothing higher that can be shown than adopting an orphan and giving them your name and becoming their father. That is the highest love you can give. And he did that for you. To bring an orphan home and become their parent and let your home become their home, your name become their name, is the highest calling there is. And that high calling has happened between us and God. We are in the family.
Amen.
And I know you probably know this, but in Jewish families and Jewish terms, which it should be everywhere, if you're adopted into a Jewish family, you have more access than the blood kids do. You're put in there. It's solid. There's no, well, they're not blood. No, it's all the same. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We are by the blood of Jesus, God's children. All right, now, the God of the universe, the good God, has given us the kingdom with pleasure. It pleases him for you to be blessed.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. So many Christians live beneath what belongs to them. They think, well, it's got to be hard. It's going to have to be hard. We have to go the hard way. That's not what the Bible says. You have to make those decisions. The Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous, there's going to be something. You'll go through something. Your children may go through something. Things do happen. That's true. But it says we overcome them all. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But that doesn't mean your whole life has to be bad every day. Well, you know, it's Murphy's Law. If anything bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. That's coming straight from the devil. Straight from the enemy. You can have a good day. You can have lots of good days.
Amen.
Things can work out for you. Everything doesn't have to be hard. Get over that. He's never going to change. He's always going to give beneficial gifts. He has given us the capacity to receive. He protects, he nourishes, and let's add one more. He corrects.
Yes.
God will correct us, right?
Yeah.
My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. That's correcting. Neither be weary of his correction. From whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Discipline shapes character.
Yeah.
The word of God will shape you.
Yes.
Sometimes it ouches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you read it and you go, oh, I love the word this morning. That may have pitched somebody really good today, but it was the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And we need that correction. Praise the Lord. So here's the truth. You gotta get this, church. We cannot remain spiritual babies and handle what God wants to give us. It's gonna get too big. You gotta be good at what God gives you. You gotta be good at handling it. When I was a little kid, and don't write me any ugly letters, and if you don't like this, just get going neutral here, but, when I was a little kid, my dad bought us all BB guns. That's where we started. We were avid hunters and fishers and all that. We're country people, kind of like Penny the dog. She a country dog. And so that's Danny's dog. She a country dog. That's what Danny said. Anyway, so we all got the BB guns, and Daddy taught us how to load it, and then he marched us to the pasture, and we learned gun safety. I mean, I was way younger than Bo. I must have been 5. I was the last one in the troop. You know, all the army's marching out with their gun. And I'm the last one. I gotta get to you know. But they took us out there and they taught us how to honor all of the things that were involved with hunting and those types of things. Amen? He did not give me a 410 or a 12 gauge or a 270 or a 30-06 or going on up the chart there. He didn't give me one of those when I was 5 years old. Yeah. Brother Copeland said him and John were out hunting and there was a spider on the barn. And John raised up his 12 gauge, his little kid, to shoot the spider on the barn. He's like, hold it, son. You can't shoot the spider. It's going to blow a hole. Now, do you get the point?
Yes.
You learn how to use what God gives you. You learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just get personal about it for a minute. Everybody look straight ahead. Credit cards.
Boom.
Credit cards. You got to learn how to use a credit card or you're going to be in debt to the year 3000. Yeah. If you don't learn how to use one, if you're not disciplined enough, I would say don't have them. You start charging up, you start getting $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 on there. That's not really a very good thing. But once you learn to use them, you can use them and pay them off and use them and pay them off and use them. And you can make all sorts of points. From rewards if you do that. But that will come when you learn how to use them and you're not drawn away by your own lust. Yeah. Amen. Can you do it? Yes, you can. You grow into that.
Right.
Three people like that. Well, praise the Lord. I'm telling the truth.
Yes.
You can be debt free.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need to shop at HEB on a credit card. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There's things you can learn. When it comes to being in the ministry, you have to learn things. Some little whippersnappers think they're so smart. I'm kidding. Note that Margaret said that. No, I didn't. Well, I can do better than pastor. I'm gonna do better than pastor for sure. They'll kill you in the parking lot. You gotta work at what you're gonna do. And y'all know I'm saying that lightly. I don't literally mean they're gonna kill you in the parking lot. I'm just giving you examples. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you have to be strong about. Amen. Dealing with a lot of people, being in the ministry. And especially if you are good, because you could get the big head really quick. And pride comes before the fall. You got to make sure God gets all the glory.
Amen.
Just in case we have some new folks in here, I'm sure Randy's heard this many times, but I'm going to say it again. When you get a compliment, particularly in the ministry or you're singing or you're, or anything in life, if someone pays you a compliment, say thank you.
Yes.
And then you go give the glory to God.
Right.
You don't have to stand there and go, oh, brother, it was the Lord. It was just the Lord. You don't have to act religious.
Yeah.
You could just say, thank you, and then go, Lord, you get all the glory. You're the one that did that. You did that. Always give God the glory. And I love what Brother Copeland said. He said, never read anything about yourself in social media, whether it be good or bad. Because if it's bad, you'll get mad. You want to fight back, and if it's good, you'll get the big head. So you just don't need to know. Just don't even do it. Just keep going with God and keep reading that Bible. Amen. You'll be all right. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. That's good common advice, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Now, could we go for just the last few minutes here into some deeper water?
Yes.
Can you go with me?
Yes.
All right. Now, stay in neutral if you can't take it, but we're going to go here. There's a difference between denominationalism, I got it, and the apostolic. There's a difference. Now, if you're in a denomination, I'm not knocking you, okay? We've all been, but I just want to show you the difference here in something. Denominationalism produces cultural decontamination by eliminating choices through religious control. Can you swallow that? You okay with that? We're going to just eliminate your choices. You have to do this. Walk with me and you'll get it. Everyone in here is baptized in the Holy Spirit. You'll understand this, that I'm not trying to tear down Methodists or Baptists or anybody like that, okay? It's not what I'm doing. Because a lot of people that work within those things are doing what's right. Okay, now. Shepherds in that kind of culture are actually charged with teaching people what to think. Apostles, on the other hand, value risk because they understand faith requires risk. Only risk-taking faith can produce life. Are you with me so far? Just come a little further and you'll see where I'm going. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. Consequently, a high level of freedom exists in apostolic ministries and cultures. There's more freedom. And I'm about to say a sentence that you'll go, oh yeah, I get what you mean. Okay? There's more freedom in the apostolic. One, here's the statement. One has a leader doing all the thinking for the flock. That is covert rejection at its best. We're going to tell you what to do. It's absolutely like this. Da da da. Okay? The other, the apostolic, teaches you to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. How many times have you heard this? Our church doesn't do it that way. What does that have to do with anything? You get that? Our church, that's not how you should be thinking. You should be thinking, what is the Holy Spirit telling me to do? Sure, we have our church and we have beliefs, but what are our beliefs? Follow the Holy Spirit. Stay in the Word. These are good things. These are true things. This is what Paul the Apostle taught, right? So you really have to get a hold of this. There's so many people trying to tell you what to think. And then it gets you in trouble. You have to think this. Holy Spirit, tell me what to do. Word of God, tell me what to do. Not being controlled by a bunch of stuff. All right. And I'm not talking about greasy grace or any of that kind of stuff. I'm talking about just being led. Some study the word for academic argument. And their theology never leads them to an encounter with God. It's just theology. I can quote, and I do it like this, but they never have an encounter with God. And they're going to say to us, they're obviously going to say to us, if you base your relationship on with God on experience, then you're deceived. But I would say, however, that if you study the Bible and it does not lead you to an encounter, then you're deceived. The Bible should lead you to an encounter with God. The Bible should be alive to you. It just shouldn't be, this says this, this says this, this is the address here. It should be God speaking to you, the Holy Spirit revealing things to you, and then you're able to make decisions based on what the Word of God says.
Yeah. Amen.
You cannot abandon your relationship with God for theology.
Amen.
An apostolic culture deals with deception primarily through relational accountability. Okay? You become accountable. I'm not saying the word is not involved. I'm saying it is. Spiritual discernment rather than intellectualism.
Yeah.
This is not just a mind thing. That's being conformed. We want to be transformed. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you could care less about this, but there are some who I know understand that this is going to help you help people. It'll help you help people. Our truths are based on the Word of God that becomes revelation. It has life. It creates relationship. And so when you come into a situation, you compare your understanding of the scriptures, you take your understanding of the scriptures with your experience in God, come on, in order to come to your conclusions, right? This is what I've experienced. This is what the Word said, and this is what I've experienced. However, saying that, this is what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about when someone comes to see you and they need your help that you go, from my experience, let me tell you what we did with these last four people. No, it has to be, Holy Spirit, help me afresh with this person. I totally believe that. At the same time, I believe that what I'm trying to tell you is your relationship experience with God. Your relationship experience with Him. Not, we did it this way and it worked. We did it this way. I'm talking about your relationship with Him. How you walked with Him. How He led you. And I'll tell you this. Brother Hagin taught us this a long time ago. And that is this. That God will lead you in patterns. He leads you in certain patterns year after year. He leads me in certain patterns year after year. Whatever works best. My relationship with Kevin is different than my relationship with Art. They're both good, but when we get together, there's a different interaction. God leads us in different ways. We react to different ways, in different ways to different people. And so you need to be able to have the freedom to listen and get close to the Holy Spirit and allow the power of God to flow through your life and allow the power of God to change and not just be going, it says this. We don't do this over here. We don't do this over here. We don't. Well, what do you do? How about if we get on that? We do faith. We do love. We do forgiveness. We do help. That's what we do. And we do listen to Holy Spirit and the Word and any counsel that our leaders give us. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's good, Lord. My two men in my life, besides my family, but my two men in my life are Brother Copeland and Pastor John. Brother Copeland being my spiritual father and Pastor John being my pastor. They taught me, and to this day, through relationship around the Word and the Spirit. Can you see that? It's always around the Word and the Spirit. That's why I can tell you every story. Because all those stories were about relationship, and then they're applied to the word. You see it?
Yeah.
God's a big God. God loves us. You know where that goes. You know where covenant love goes. You know all the stories.
Yeah, Brother
Couples. Yeah, mm-hmm. Amen. You got something to say to this boy, you're going to say it to me, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Everybody knows the story. Those kind of things linger with you. They stay with you, and they remind you of who God is. This is how all of it works. It all works together. You have a relationship with God, and you remember what happened in your life. You remember how things worked out. But it just isn't this church. It just isn't, I learned by that mistake. You can learn so much even without a mistake if you'll just listen.
That's right.
And that's why it's not good. You know, so many times these movie stars get saved and then they throw them out in the public.
Yeah, so quick.
Mm-hmm. And then they fall.
Yeah.
They fall because they weren't ready. The Apostle Paul was almost 15 years out in the desert before he even started going out. But we have a tendency to want to skip relationship. I'm so glad I didn't skip relationship. I'm so glad I had Pastor Holler, Pastor John, all the time to tell me, to talk to me, to work with me, and to just make pointers. And he would just say things and I'd go, okay, that's right. I see that, you know? So in that, and then Holy Spirit just prompting you. What would today have been like if we sang the songs and Jesse hadn't had any impression at all, because we don't do that. Nobody would have been called to the altar because we don't do that. Are you with me? That stuff's about relationship. That's all about relationship. We heard. We were prompted by God. I hope I'm making sense to you. All right. Thank you, Lord. When you come to a situation, you compare your understanding of the scriptures with your experience in God in order to come to your conclusions, and you listen. I'm not saying you use your past experiences to work on future results. I'm saying that you definitely can learn by your experiences in God, but always get a fresh perspective from the Holy Spirit. Every meeting we have is different. Every time you meet with one of your friends, you don't say the same thing. Hello, how are you? This is what we do every time. There's room, and there's room to grow. You know, it's interesting to me too that, you know, some people get a big revelation and they'll go out in the ditch. We've all seen them. We've watched them, right, brother? They'll go out in the ditch. But God didn't childproof the garden. Could we give our fellow brothers and sisters some time to get back out of the ditch? Could we not just throw them away? Oh, they're heretics. They're heretics. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine out at the tent, and he said one of the preacher friends had a relationship with Andrew Womack, who we love, and another preacher friend, who's actually a friend of mine, said, oh, he's wrong in his doctrine. And he teaches some bad stuff. And the preacher responded like this. He teaches some good stuff too. So, you know, watch out. Listen, never accuse to the master one of his servants. Whether you like all of their doctrine or not, do not accuse them. That's bad business. I don't like all of everybody's doctrine. But we don't need to be accusing them. Amen. We don't need to, denominationalism has a no defects policy. And we can't have that. It leaves no room for discovery. Amen. If someone takes their fresh revelation too far, no, we're out then. And that's why revival doesn't happen. That's why wildfire, you know, they're afraid of wildfire. That's why the glory doesn't manifest, or why we don't see the great awakening as fast, because we've got the people going, we don't do it that way. I'm not doing that. That whippersnapper?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. God's not a controller like that. Praise the Lord. Someone in the church who's not here anymore actually gave one of our people some advice about me and said, do not take any marriage advice from pastor because she doesn't know anything. She's not married. Now, that is ignorance gone to seed. Some of you are wondering if that isn't right, but it's not. That is not right. Because I don't base what I've learned about marriage on my failures or my successes. I base them on what the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is talking about. And I'll remind you that Jesus wasn't married.
Yeah. Boom.
And relationships are very much alike. I know husband and wife, that's the special bonding. It should be. You're one. It's beautiful. That's good. But in all relationships, this is what we need to be saying. It's none of my business whether you love me. It's my business to love you.
Amen.
And then, y'all know what I mean by that. And so that's when marriage gets good. That's when life gets good. Some of the smallest things is when you're not always picking on the other person. You don't love me. You don't love me. You don't love me. You don't love me. Well, you're going to have what you say.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's good.
Why don't you love me? Why don't you do this? Why? Just believe God, pray, and you love that person.
There you go. And that
was good. Some of you are going, oh, man. Praise the Lord. Well, you can't help anyone who's on drugs if you've never been hooked on drugs. I think I can. I got the Holy Ghost. Well, if you've never been an alcoholic, how could you help an alcoholic? Well, Jesus did. I think we can. Well, if you never experienced it, how could you help anyone? Because I have a Bible and I have the Holy Ghost. All of us have had failures at some things. But that doesn't keep us from learning as we go on. Amen. Apostolic cultures, there's fathers and mothers. They're God-appointed leaders who carry a certain authority and favor about them that causes people to follow them. People are like, I'm a leader, I'm a leader. Well, where's the people that are following you? I need you to see that I'm a leader. Well, who's following you? They don't listen. Our kind of church was birthed and born out of an apostolic ministry. Nobody hired me.
Amen.
Right. Nobody hired me so they could boss me around or fire me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Praise the Lord. But I do have accountability.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do have accountability. Yes. I am submitted.
Yes.
And so... It all works when it's all in proper order. We all need accountability.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't like what I do, you can call Bert Wimberly. Mm-hmm. He'll talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still win, but no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Thank you, Jesus. You can call Kelly Copeland. She'll tell you too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's close. Y'all had enough? You good? Y'all gonna go out and eat some fatherhood food? Going to Ollie's for lunch and whatever. Praise the Lord.
All the fathers are grilling for their families.
Oh, fathers are grilling for their families. I'm impressed. Are you? Are you gonna go grill for your family? Okay. She says she's doing everything else.
Yeah.
Let's stand up, please. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you never abuse us. You always are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can count on, we can all count on you. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, for your Word, for your Spirit, for your angels. We thank you, Lord, that... And if any person here has not felt love, that today they will begin to feel the love of the Father. I thank you for that, Lord, because we have room here for relationship. We have room for it in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, to help each and every person here to get to know your love, your safety, your protection, your provision, and your fun, all that you have for us. I thank you for that because you do love us, Papa. I thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.